Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
But the righteous which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above. Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you will look at Romans 10:17 and realize that faith has ears. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You look at Romans 10:6 and see that faith has a mouth. Faith speaks. I want to talk to you about praise is the voice of faith. You may be seated. Tom Fred Tenney, the great Pentecostal preacher of a day gone by, said this. He said, I was preaching at a conference, and he said, a young man came to me when I got through preaching and said he was a young man that had aspiration to be a preacher, and he wanted to make me to feel good. And he said, Brother Tenney, I was late. He said, I didn't get here till the worship was over, but I got here for the most important part. I got here for your preaching. And Brother Tenney said, the most important part to who? He said to me, he said, well, that's exactly right. But he said it wasn't the most important part to God, because the most important part to God was when you worship him. And when I begin to think about that, it is important that we hear the word of God because it changes us. But it's very important to God that we praise him and we worship him and we glorify him. So I've selected these two verses today to establish a Bible truth. Faith is not dead. It is a living, breathing thing. And Paul admonishes us that faith is the number one goal of spiritual acquisition. Above all, he said, take the shield of faith. It is the number one offensive weapon against the devil. But it's not primarily about faith that I want to speak to you. Faith is not only there, it can both hear and speak. It's alive. It hears the word. When you hear the word of God, you know, all of us have weakness. I don't know what yours is. Maybe yours is gossiping and lying and stealing. Yours is really bad. Mine's just very mediocre things. I just love Willie Nelson. And the guy smokes marijuana every day. I'm a Pentecostal preacher. I shouldn't love, but I just love Willie. He's a great songwriter. And so sometimes I listen to him in my truck, and I just don't get more spiritual doing that. And I'll catch myself, I'll just reach over, I got them all on number, I'll just reach over and push Joel Osteen. It's amazing the difference I can tell between Joel and Willie. There is a difference. See, you got to be careful what you take in. And there's a lot of things on television, you know, like these are my weaknesses, like snap. That's where women snap and kill their husband. You can't believe how suspicious I am of Becky now after watching that. Then I got hooked on watching air disasters, plane crashes. Then I got to fly to San Francisco. That stuff doesn't do you any good. But there's a little deal on television called BOV. You know what that is? Believer's Voice of Victory with Kenneth Copeland. He's got his own station. He's got him. He's got Dr. Bill Winston. He's got Jerry Seville. He's just got the greatest. Man, when I watch that, I just don't, you know, I'm working at my desk. I don't have time to sit there and just, but I can just hear that. It just changes my entire outlook. Friend, I'm going to tell you, there is nothing like feeding yourself on the Word of God. It will change everything in your life. And so praise is the release of faith. Praise operates in three worlds. It releases man. It binds the devil, and it reveals God. Worship released the demonic. You remember the story in Mark chapter 5 about the man from Gadara? He was so bad that society had given up on you. You know, society will do you that. It'll sell you drugs, sell you alcohol, and then once you become hopelessly addicted, it will abandon you and give up on you. And that's what they'd done to this man. They gave up on him. They tried to put him in jail. He broke out. They put him in chains. He broke the chains. He was just hopeless. But the Bible said when Jesus got out of the boat, this demonic that had 6,000 demons in him worshiped Jesus. Now somebody said, well, then you explain why I can't worship Jesus. Well, it's my personality. You know, I'm just a shy person. Friend, if 6,000 people, demons could not stop this man from worshiping Jesus, your little personality quirk can't stop you from worshiping Jesus. You can push through that and say, I'm a worshiper and I am a praiser. And praise not only releases man, praise binds the devil. The devil just hates for you to praise Jesus. You know, if somebody doesn't like somebody and they're with you, I had a preacher call me one day here in San Antonio, and for some reason there were three particular pastors. I guess he was upset, and he told me, he said, you know so-and-so over there? He said he doesn't have anybody in his church, and he just run him down. I let him get through. I said, you know, he had a special speaker that I went over here, and I said, that building was totally packed. He said, well, he wanted to change something. He said, you know so-and-so? He said, he's got this little old dirty building. I said, you know, he's enlarged that and remodeled it and made it bigger. I was over the other day, and it's really nice. And so he said, I got to go. He talked to me about three priests. He said, I got to go. Let me tell you about the devil. If you'll praise Jesus, the devil will say, I got to go. I got to go. I got to go. Somebody said, well, you don't know what so-and-so said about you. And they said, well, I'm not so concerned about what they said about me as why they felt that it would be all right for you to hear what they said about me. Why did they think you'd entertain that? People know what you want to hear. And the devil will flee from you if you'll praise Jesus Christ. In Psalms 149:6, let the high praise of God be in your mouth and a two-edged sword in your hand. Execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishment upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. High praises will literally bind the devil where he'll have no effect in your life. How many people are Superman fans? Man, Superman is not well liked in this building. Clark Kent, I apologize for them. When I was a little boy, I loved Superman. But you know, the Superman was just awesome, except for kryptonite. Remember that? That just rendered him powerless. You know, that's a fictional word. I looked it up to make sure. It's a fictional word of the comic book, TV, and film character Superman, an alien mineral that has the power of depriving Superman of his powers. Something that it now has become a real word. It means something that can seriously weaken or harm a particular person or thing. That's what praise does. Praise weakens the devil. Praise harms the devil. He will try to run from you. He'll flee from you. And if he can't, he'll just be paralyzed. But you know, it's real difficult when bad things are happening to be full of praise, because we're all fleshly. But praise not only releases man and binds the devil, you know what it does? It reveals God in your life. Paul and Silas at the midnight hour, they begin to praise God. What happened? God showed up in the form of an earthquake. Now, God doesn't always look like a man or an angel. God looks like what you need him to be. He can be an earthquake or a pay raise. He can be a spirit. He can be a joy. But praise reveals God. Because of the amazing effect of praise, Satan will use any means possible to silence the voice of praise. He'll do anything he can to keep from praising God. You know, Luke chapter 19, verse 37 through verse 40, that's the triumphal entry. That's when Jesus came riding in on that colt. Remember that story? You remember how the disciples asked? Oh, it was a Holy Ghost-filled meeting before the Holy Ghost was poured out. The Bible said all of his disciples were rejoicing. Some people got so excited. You know, we think that people get beside themselves here at Living Way and our quieter, more dignified persona and group of people in this church. When somebody begins to cry and shout, I imagine in their mind they're saying, that's not necessary. Well, look in the Bible and you'll see some wild things happening. You'll see David dancing. And so here it was, Jesus is coming back. He's coming into Jerusalem. He's coming back in a triumphant manner. And the disciples began to praise him. Just got wild beside. Some of them took off their coats and threw it down for that little donkey to walk on. And when the Pharisees, the religious people, saw that, they went to Jesus, and here's what they said. They said, "Master, rebuke thy disciples." He said, "This is shameful. This is undignified. This shouldn't be happening." And here's what Jesus said. Jesus answered them and said unto them, "I tell you that if they should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out." The devil will use anything he can to stop the voice of praise. He'll use people. Remember David, when David was dancing before the ark, his own wife despised him. She rebuked him. Somebody said, "A happy wife, happy wife, happy life." Well, not David. His wife was very unhappy because he was praising God. He will lose religion. He'll use religion, the Pharisees, to stop you from praising God. You know what? He'll even use other church members. Remember when that woman came in to Jesus and she broke that alabaster box? It wasn't the Pharisees of the Sadducees. You know who it was? It was Jesus' disciples. They said, "Now this is getting out of hand. This is too much worship here." In fact, said, "You know what? Said, if we had taken that ointment, we could have sold it and given it to the poor, and that would have been a great PR for our ministry, Jesus." They said, "To what purpose is this waste?" In other words, this is not necessary. This was from fellow disciples. Sometimes church members will even try to keep you from praising God. But I want to tell you that God loves your praise. Praise is important to Him. You see, people that don't praise don't have faith. You say, "Oh, that's a tough statement." Oh, they might have intellectual or secular faith, but they don't have Bible faith, spiritual faith. Because when you praise God, you're saying a lot of things. It's the voice of faith when you praise God. If you don't praise God, you don't believe that God inhabits His praise. But that's what the Bible said He does. If you believe that God inhabited His praise, every time you got in a jam, instead of fussing and moaning and carrying on, what would you do? You'd just praise God, because you'd know that God's going to show up and inhabit that praise. Praise validates your faith. Praise said, "I believe He is." Remember, the Bible said we must believe that He is. In Hebrews 11, we must believe that He is. And He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Praise says, "I believe He is. I believe He is." It makes no sense to praise if you don't believe that there is a God. Atheists are not going to believe that, they're not going to praise God because they don't believe there's a God. Agnostics are not going to praise God because they simply don't believe that He is. But real believers are going to praise God because we believe that He exists. But we only don't believe that He exists, praise God. We believe that He's a rewarder. That if we praise Him, something is going to turn around in our life. It's the most difficult thing in your life is when the worst thing happens, that you praise God the most. But I can promise you it has supernatural dividends. So praise says, "I believe that He is." Praise says, "I not only believe He is, I know who He is." It's very important that we know who we're praising. Generic praise doesn't work at all. You have to know who you're praising. The Bible said the Father seeketh such to worship Him in spirit and in truth. You have to know who. I saw one of the great pastors in Australia say the other day. He said, "You know, Allah and Jehovah are the same." No, they're not. No, they're not. Allah is not a God. He's a false God. Jehovah is the only true God revealed in His Son, Jesus Christ. You've got to know who you're praising. And so I want to show you a few little things in the Scripture, how important this is. You remember the woman with the issue of blood? She had it for 12 years. And you remember what a miracle it was? You remember what happened? She had to press through the crowd. The crowd was great, and she was weak, but she pressed through that crowd. It's not always easy to worship. Sometimes you got to press through a lot of things. a lot of circumstances, a lot of feelings, a lot of attitudes, a lot of people, a lot of demons. But I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to praise God. You just make up your mind. I'm going to give Jesus the praise. And so she did that. And so we always picture her on her hands and knees in one feeble burst of energy, her last burst of energy, because the Bible said she'd tried doctors, got nothing better, but only grew worse. In her last burst of energy, she reached out and hung a fingernail in the hem of his garment. No, that's not what happened. The hem of his garment was not an accidental touching. It was a target. She was reaching not for anything else, because somehow it had been revealed to her who he was. And the hem of the garment has very, very emphatic emphasis in the Word of God. In Exodus chapter 28, verse 33 and 34, "And beneath upon the hem of it thou shalt make pomegranates of blue and of purple, and of scarlet round about the hem thereof, and the bells of gold between them round about, and the gold bell and a pomegranate, and a golden bell and a pomegranate upon the hem of the rope around him." That was for the high priest. This woman somehow knew that Jesus, there were lots of false messiahs, lots of false healers, just like there are today, but she knew who Jesus Christ was. And she expended all of her energy to reach out and take a hold of that garment and get particular to him, because she was saying, "I know him to be the high priest." Because she understood this truth before it was ever written in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 22. "By so much that Jesus made a surety of a better testament, that they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death." Said there were a lot of high priests, but they all died. "But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sin and then for the people's. And for this he did once when he offered up himself." We have a priest, and we need that high priest every day. But that high priest does not have to offer up a sacrifice every day. He did it once and for all. Every high priest before him had to have an animal sacrifice, but Jesus Christ gave his life once and for all. This little woman with the issue of blood, she knew who she was reaching out to touch, and she wanted to particularly get the hem of that garment because she wanted to say, "I know that you are the high priest that will take away all of my sickness and all of my sin." Ladies and gentlemen, when you begin to realize who Jesus is, you won't have to go to a worship seminar. You won't have to be motivated by somebody to praise God. You'll get up every morning and you'll say, "His mercy is fresh every day, every day. And I know I need that high priest every day." And so praise God. If his mercy is fresh every day, my praise ought to be fresh every day. The devil is going to stop you with everything he has. Make that attempt to keep you from being a praiser. But friend, I want you to be like David. I want you to praise God several times every day. I look at some of you and you come into this building and you're a little fearful and you're a little intimidated and you're a little self-absorbed and you just can't praise God. And I know if you can't praise God here, it's more difficult to praise God out there. But friend, if you will learn to praise God, the power of God will be released in your life. There's a real lesson to be learned. This woman knew that Jesus was, that he was the high priest. If you take this philosophy a little farther, you've seen blind Bartimaeus sitting by the side of the road. And when Jesus came by, he began to cry out. He didn't just cry and say, "Hey, what's your name? Here I am." The Bible said he began to call out. And he said, "Oh, Son of David, Son of the Most High God, Somehow this blind man could see what the people with eyes could not see. He knew that he was Jesus Christ. He knew he was the Son of God. Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. He knew Jesus was. This was not a generic praise. This was a name brand praise. This was not a knockoff praise. You know, we all like to get those little knockoffs. Say, this is just as good as the real thing, but it never is. I buy those tools that say made in China. I got a scar right here on my hand. You know what that scar is from? My brother-in-law was here and he had a problem with his car. And I got one of my wrenches that I'd bought down there for nothing because it was Chinese. And I was putting the torque on it. There was an open-end wrench. Brother Kevin, I was putting everything I had. That wrench broke in half. That's how strong I am. Man, I'm strong. It's not I'm strong as China is weak. Because that wrench, I could not, it broke in half, and when it did, it cut my hand all the way to the bone. I had to go get stitches in that thing. And it was because of that cheapness, because it was a knockoff. Friend, anytime you worship and you don't worship in the name of Jesus, it's generic, it's a knockoff. Some of these songs, you can't tell whether they're singing about their boyfriend or Jesus. Those are not good worship songs. You need to know that they're singing about Jesus. They're singing about the high priest. They're singing about the Son of David. They're singing about the mighty God. They're singing about our Savior. Praise God. But let me talk to you for just a moment about anticlimactic encounters. We say, oh, everybody that came to Jesus was changed. That's not true. Everybody that came to Jesus was not changed. Did you ever read the story? It's where we get the whole new birth message in John chapter 3, where Nicodemus came to Jesus, and he said, hey, I know you're a great teacher, come from the Lord. He said, how can we be saved? And Jesus said, you must be born again. There's no record that Nicodemus was ever born again. He just got the word, but he left in the middle of the night. You know why? Because he simply did not know who Jesus was. Nothing happened. Because he truly did not know who Jesus was. He thought he was just a good teacher. Friend, it's one thing to know he's good, but it's something else to know he's God. Jesus is God all by himself. He's not just good. You can't put him in a cast of characters. You can't put him in a choir. He's not one of four or five gods. He's not with Muhammad. He's not with Allah. He's all by himself. Praise God. He's not only good. Another anticlimactic encounter, the rich young ruler, he came to Jesus and he said, behold one thing. He said, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And Jesus said, why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that is God. He was probing into his mind to see if this rich young ruler knew who he was. And the ruler did not know. He just thought he was a good master. He didn't realize that he was the God of the universe robed in flesh. And so Jesus gave him these instructions. He said, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast. You know, you have one alternative to Jesus Christ. You know what it is? If you're perfect, you'll be saved. It's a little difficult when you were born contaminated. The Bible said we're born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And so we can't be perfect. The only way we can be saved is through Jesus Christ. The Bible said this young man heard that saying. You know what he did? He went away sorrowful. Neither one of these men were changed because they didn't know who Jesus was. If you're going to praise Jesus Christ, it's because you know who he was. Not everyone that met Jesus went away happy, only those that worshiped him as God. The Bible tells us about this demonic of Gadara that I talked about. When Jesus got out of that boat, the first thing he said, Jesus, thou Son of God most high, I beseech thee, tore me not. He might have been a devil. He might have been devil possessed, but he knew one thing. He knew who Jesus was. And the Bible said when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. I submit this to you, ladies and gentlemen. If you get a revelation of who Jesus Christ is, it doesn't matter about your life. You simply cannot resist worshiping him. You simply can't worship him. I've had people tell me, oh, so-and-so, he's such a good actor. And I'd say, maybe not, but I'd see him and I'd have to say, oh, he is that good actor. Somebody tell me, oh, that guy's such a great athlete. I'd say, oh, he's not that good. When Michael Jordan was just coming up, Sean latched on to him and he started talking about Michael Jordan, Michael Jordan, Michael Jordan. And I said, he can't be that good. Oh, I watched him. He was that good. Oh, friend, and somebody tell you about Jesus. When you realize who he is, when you realize who he is, you'll have to drop all contention. You'll have to drop all denial. He's just that good. He's just that good. He will save you to the uttermost. Praise God. I want to praise him because he's worthy of praise. He's worthy of praise. But the devil wants you to stop praising him, because if he can get you to stop praising him, he can limit your faith. Because faith is released by the voice of praise. When you're praising God, you say, oh, I believe God is. I believe he's alive. I believe he's ever present. I believe he's here. I believe he's the Savior. I believe he's the healer. I believe he's the mighty God. I believe he's the life fixer. He's the life changer. He's in this building right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Here was a man who had 6,000 devils. But when he worshiped Jesus, the Bible said this, they came to Jesus and to see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. They were afraid because of the power of Jesus to change a man so radically. Praise says, I believe he is here. Praise says, I believe he hears. Praise says, he is able. Praise says, he is willing. Praise says, he is present now. You know, years ago, a friend of mine, Brother J.T. Pugh, one of the greatest orators and preachers I ever heard, he pastored out in Odessa. Brother Pugh was a lot older than me, and he called me, and I was honored that he even called me. I was just a young preacher. He said, Brother Steve, he said, this is Brother J.T. Pugh. He said, one of my finest ladies in my church is on a plane headed to San Antonio. And she said, he said, she's following her son. He's in a helicopter. And said her son's a grown man. And said he was in a little lake out here. And said he got behind the boat and that boat propeller cut him all up. Said he's just in pieces. But they're rushing him up there and they say there's not much chance. And so when I got there, I beat him to the hospital and they brought that guy in and I was able to talk to the doctor and the doctor said, Reverend, said there's no chance that we're going to be able to save this man. And then his mother walked in. She's about 5'1", 5'2", just a little one. She had little gray hair. She had a little bun on her head. And she came through that door like she was 7 feet tall and a big, strong general. She came in and she was large and in charge in the spirit. She came through that door saying, Jesus is going to heal my son. Who are you? I said, my name's Steve Fenner. Brother Pugh called me. And he wanted me to meet you here. He's on his way, but he won't be here for a few hours. She said, my son's going to live and not die. And she walked around that waiting room and she just began to praise God. And finally, you go through these doors and it was off limits. She wasn't supposed to go back there. And before I get home, she went right back there where that surgeon was operating on her son. And after a while, a nurse came leading her back and said, ma'am, you're going to have to stay out here. She praised God for a while. After a while, she went right back through that door. It must have been about a 2 hour. It was a long, long surgery. A Jewish doctor came out to me, finally came out to her and me, but he looked at me and he talked to me instead of talking to her. He said, this man's going to live. He said, I wouldn't give a penny for his health, And he said, you know, he said, I'm a Jew and I don't understand what this woman's doing. But he said, when this woman walked into that surgery room, we had to run her out. He said, every time she would walk in, he said, I'd feel this power in that room. This happened right down here at Baptist Hospital downtown. Ladies and gentlemen, when you get a praiser like that, hell itself can't stop it. Praise God. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to learn that praise is the voice of faith. And when we praise God, hell just has to stop. The devil flees. Praise God. But there's always somebody trying to stop you from praising God. It's not dignified. It's not for this time. It's not for this age. Oh, yes, it is, ladies and gentlemen. If we've ever praised God, we need to praise God more now than we ever have. They said, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And Jesus answered and said, if I rebuke these disciples, he said, if they should hold their peace, stones would immediately cry out. I've thought about that verse for a long time, and I just wonder what the stones would say if they cried out. And when you go through the Bible, it's kind of apparent what they would say. If you look in the book of Exodus, you find Moses there. And Moses said, God, I want to know you. And God put him in what the Bible said, the cleft of the rock. He hit him in the cleft of the rock. And so if that rock was to stand up and praise God in my absence, you know what it would do? It would praise God for his revelation and his protection. If you go a little farther in the Bible said there was a stone that followed them in the wilderness. What would that stone cry out? It would praise God for the cloud and the fire and the manna. What about the stone that Moses struck and the water came out of it and it flowed out for 3 million people? Oh, that stone would rise up and praise God for satisfying their thirst. What about the stone that Jacob used for a pillow when Esau was going to kill him? Oh, if we talked to that stone, it would rise up and it would praise God for deliverance and from certain death. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. What about the stone in David's sling? What would it say? It'd say, oh, it was the biggest old giant ever saw, and we're going to destroy Israel. But that stone would cry out and say, the Lord delivered us from Israel and killed the giant. Hallelujah. Oh, but this is my favorite one. What about the stone that they had ready to throw at the woman taken in the act of adultery? Oh, what would that stone say? Oh, he'd say, oh, I have to praise Jesus because of his mercy when she should have died. Praise God. He stepped in. Hallelujah. What about the stone that rolled away? Oh, that stone would praise him for his resurrection. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ladies and gentlemen, he's going to have somebody praise him, and the people that praise him are going to know who he is, and he is going to manifest his power in their midst. I'm not going to let a stone take my place. I'm going to praise him for all those things. I'm going to praise him for his revelation and protection. I'm going to praise him because he gave me water for my thirsty soul. I'm going to praise him because he's killed the giants in my life. I'm going to praise him because his mercy was there when I should have been stoned. I'm going to praise him because he has resurrected me. I am not going to let the devil stop my praise. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, there's somebody in this building today. You're just on the verge of the biggest miracle of your life. And that faith is surging against your wall cavity, the cavity of your chest. It's just surging, but it needs a voice. It wants to speak. No matter how much power you've got, if it doesn't speak, it doesn't have much influence. And praise God. Your influence is that you praise God. Praise him in the rising of the sun and the going down of the same. Praise him in the good times and the bad. Praise him when things are going well and things are going wrong. Praise him when the doctors give you a good report. Praise him when the doctors give you a bad report. Praise him when you're hired. Praise him when you're hired. And praise him when you're fired. Just give God praise. There's somebody in this building. You're not 120 seconds away from a miracle. God is just waiting for your faith to give voice and begin to praise and say, I know that my God is. I know my God is present, and I know my God is able, and he's here right now, and God is going to work a miracle in my family. Where is that person right now? There's somebody in this building right now, a special person that God is speaking to. And I don't even want you to come to this altar yet. I want you right where you are to break out in spontaneous praise and let your faith have its voice. You've got faith. You've got faith. You've heard too much word not to have faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You've heard the word. That faith is inside of you. But what's going to make that faith be resilient? What's going to make that faith be responsive? What that make that faith work is when you begin to praise God and say, I know he is. I know God is. I know He's a rewarder. I know He's present. I know He's here. I know He's mighty. I know He's able. I know He's touching my body. I know He's saving my family. I know He's making a way. I know He's opening the door. I know God is doing it in Jesus' name.